Welcome to Beyond the Document, the podcast from Formpipe, where we look at everything that is output, document, and customer communication management. Now, on this episode, we're looking forward and considering what will be the core banking trends in 2023. And therefore, it's great to be able to welcome Hemal Jayasinghe of Syncordis to the podcast. Welcome, Hemal.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Good, yes. And also, we are face-to-face, so thank you for letting me into the Syncordis LTI office.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And you are Chief Business Officer, so can you just give us a brief overview of what that role means?
Yeah, I'm the Chief Business Officer for UK, Ireland, Europe, Central and Eastern Europe. So I am responsible regionally for the growth and the strategy of the business. On top of that is to stay on top of the sales.
Yes. Yeah.
And overall to make sure our strategy stays in line with the market movement, stays in line with our partners, and making sure we push the business to growth.
Fantastic. Yeah. So pretty busy, pretty wide ranging role.
It is indeed. Regions are growing. Regions are getting more and more dynamic. With that, it's a matter of how do we do well.
Fantastic. Good. Okay. And core banking trends is what we're going to talk about today. It's something that we've talked about before on Beyond the Document. And we really do enjoy diving into this subject because the core technology that drives banks' operations is key for everything else to succeed. I mean, you could have the best marketing and client acquisition program, but then for the bank to recognize some revenue, they need the core to support it. So back in Formpipe, when we were looking at this episode, we thought about our own clients and we thought about the drivers that we see. And we have got some, what I call bricks and mortar banks who have over the last 4 or 5 years looked at how they need to innovate and develop, mainly due to the market dictating that to them. But what other drivers do you see within the core banking area?
I think this is a interesting landscape at the moment, isn't it? It's just lots happening with all the different bears and all these things are moving parts. Fundamentally, we see is a lot of consistency around things that is different parts that's moving together. Obviously, digital engagement and enablement is still at the forefront of a lot of businesses. And at the same time, CIOs are wanted to keep up with innovate and stay relevant for the CEOs, right? Because every CEO is at the moment, they want to stay relevant. Otherwise, they know the growth is not going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. Obviously, from the CEO's point of view, growth, constant need for reassessing the cost to income ratio is a key part of how to maintain the margins. And COOs constantly struggling. Last couple of years, they have struggled around repositioning the operations, are now settling down, but now they're back onto their how to stay on top of the compliance, how to stay top of the productivity and continue to improve the operational efficiency. So these key elements, most of them are same moving parts in the last 10 years, yeah. But in different shapes and different forms, I guess.
Okay, and those two things do go hand in hand, don't they? If there's more engagement, that should bring more revenue, more profit. Equally, when we're looking at helping organizations to improve their efficiency, you'd hope that that does reduce some operational cost as well. Is there one particular thing that does resonate with the majority of the banks that you speak to?
I think every bank at the moment, who we speak to is thinking about how to increase the customer acquisition, the number of products each customer has, and ability to provide self-serving capabilities. Mm-hmm. None of us goes to banks anymore. I can't remember the last time I've been to a retail branch. So that innovation is the key factor at the moment. They know without that, customers not going to be happy. Yeah. I mean, we don't compare bank ABC internet banking with bank XYZ, aren't we? We are now comparing this internet banking solution with Apple and Samsung's and all the platforms that what we use in to see whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So that innovation and ability to acquire customers through digital channel is key part of the businesses today. But what we also heavily discussing at the same time, how much back office operation, core banking systems holding back the digital enablement.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
people go and apply all these fancy front office solutions, but sooner to realize the hard way, they can't do all their things because the back office doesn't allow or allow the capability unless it's modernized.
Yes. Yeah.
So I see, as much as digital front end conversations we have, there's a lot of conversations. How can the back office can be modernized to keep those capabilities running across the banking platform?
Yeah, and that is such a pertinent point, because especially when we're looking at those established banks, they know they need to make that change, but they cannot afford, or they don't want to rip out the whole existing platform, do they? They've got existing operations. So that modernization route is one that is very attractive. That's so different from a greenfield bank, or maybe a bank that is going into a new part of the market where they can afford to start with that blank canvas. So if we look at the modernization scenario, what are the key trends around that? What is the technology trends around the modernization?
If I start with an example, one good example that had come across a number of times is a lot of banks, multi-currency accounts, for example, right? A key business requirement at the moment, as the trend of that is growing. Sure. Front office solutions provide that, and banks try to implement it, but sooner to realize, hey, core banking in the back office needs to modernize, otherwise front office can't do much about it. So core banking modernization and renovation is still in the forefront. Mm-hmm. How much you can do it in the front office, otherwise you will no doubt will be held back as a result. We have a lot of conversations around the modernizing, not just implementing or upgrading the core banking platform, but also the underlying technical debt, we call it, right? And they need to make sure that everything is resilient, agile, and be able to scale up. Otherwise, literally, those things are somewhere you're going to get a bottleneck. And continuous adaptation to cloud, right? This is where, particularly for the CIOs, how they can reduce the total cost of IT ownership, how they can be more agile, how they can be more scalable in order to for CEOs to grow the business.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, the business is not sustainable for the future. It's not future ready otherwise, right? I'm not saying going to cloud going to make business future ready, but all these pieces needs to come together for business to be future ready.
And that's across the globe, isn't it? We used to see certain trends in specific areas, but apart from a few countries that have different laws, we're seeing that move and adoption of cloud everywhere now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that goes hand in hand with banks looking at, not just banks, the financial institutions, looking at managed services. They want to make sure the IT teams do customer value addition services in the IT space, not necessarily sit and crank in the wheel, whereas managed service providers do that better, do that cheaper.
Yeah.
And banks wants to refocus themselves to do banking and making sure right partners are doing the right parts of the business. We see a huge trend around the managed services at the moment. Customers wanting to have a service on how they run the business now.
Yeah. And let the specialists do that, and they concentrate on what they're good at.
Exactly. At the end of the day, banks is about building the value of the customer base, building value for the shareholders. Cranking the wheel doesn't do that, isn't it? So they, rightly so, we see C-levels are now reshaping and refocusing their thinking.
Brilliant. And that kind of leads us onto the principle of composable banking. Okay, and with that adoption and the modernization, it allows the banks to then design their own products that are fit for the client base that they're targeting. We talk a lot about this in a theoretical way. Have you seen that happen in a real-world example where composable and open banking has enabled a client to go and design products that are really, really competitive on the market?
If you look at a lot of core banking service providers, they're now getting into composable banking mode, right? It is still in the early stage of maturity.
Yeah.
But it is inevitable that is the way forward. If you look at, there are a number of clients currently looking at composable banking as their solution, as their banking platform. But at this point, at least, it is for more bigger players to who can afford that cost of implementing it and running it. End of the day, it's a very nice agile way of having different microservices, and you can plug and fit the changes, you can go to market quickly and all those things that banks want to achieve. At the same time, it also increases your dependability on multiple things fit in the same space. It needs to be integrated, it needs to be run seamlessly, it needs to be managed seamlessly. So, but it is definitely the way forward. It gives more flexibility to the banks.
And also you need that guidance from that overview perspective. You know, that's what yourselves do for a banking client. Yeah, you give that overview and that guidance throughout the whole project.
Exactly. It is easy to go to the market and buy a toolkit with number of applications, yes, number of different service providers, but then someone needs to put it together. Yeah. Which is where we see a lot of challenges today in some banks struggling to get through the implementation projects, always putting different solutions with the toolkit is not necessarily the easiest and fastest way to go to market. Yeah. But once you've done it, then it gives you a bit more agility around how you can move things around thereafter. You can upgrade bits and pieces. You don't have to upgrade the whole thing. And that kind of pros and cons comes at the back of it.
And some of the fintech out there is just so exciting, you know, what can be achieved in a shorter period of time.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at, again, talking about the trends, and it is inevitable that marketplace banking is going to be another key area to look out for. Okay. A lot of banks, if you look at from the Nordics point of view, a lot of banks already in that space, but you can see a lot of European banks is going to soon follow that path of trending. And that is another interesting area to watch out for in the next 2 to 3 years to come.
Brilliant. Okay. So bringing it back then on that point, bringing it back to, we're still in quarter one of 2023. Yeah. If you were engaging with a bank right now, looking at modernizing or looking at working on their core banking platform, what are the true benefits that they can really expect to achieve in a, I don't know, a 3 year period? Where can they actually see some wins within that period of time?
When you're looking at capital investments, like in the IT space, and that is now becoming a more and more CapEx to OpEx scenario, because most of the services now comes as a capitalized subscription based and all those things, which is fantastic way of operating. But the fundamental still stays, how can banks onboard customers faster, provide a better user experience? How can, over the 5 to 10 years time, financial institutions significantly reduce their TCO by 30 to 40%, because the cost is becoming increasing, the salaries are going up, service charges are going up. It is on the increasing trend. Yeah. So if you want to maintain your cost to income ratio, you need to looking at innovate, renovate, and modernize your platforms. Mm-hmm. So you could, there are logical ways of how you can really bring that forward. But unless you make some investments to leverage on that, your cost is going to continue to go up. So I think those are the two areas where I think a lot of focus will go on.
Yes.
How to grow through digital enablement, how to reduce the cost through renovation and modernization of the banking platform. That comes with obviously the managed services, if where the banks thinks medium to longer term, how they can bring their whole landscape. Lot of simplicity, a lot of flexibility, but also going in a way that they have the scalability and agility to grow the business.
So I'm going to push you a little bit. If you, from a Syncordis LTI point of view, were presenting to a board, a C-suite board of executives, what key thing would you give them as a bit of advice if they're looking at doing a project this year? Where would you tell them that they need to really focus their attention?
My view would be we need to focus on, to be aggressive on providing platform as a service.
Yes, okay.
That is where a lot of conversations end of the day boils down to, hey, we want a superior modern solution. We want a scalable architecture, secure platform, but we want to do the least to run and manage and maintain it.
Yeah.
So that also comes together with banks no longer wants to have, you know, 100 different service providers and different contracts to maintain, large acquisition teams and all those things. Banks are continuing to focus on what they need to be focused.
The banking.
Banking. So if my advice would be, hey, we need to be looking at platform as a service. It needs to be wrapped together with the managed services. I see that is where the core banking space from the vendor perspective is moving to cater to the demand, what the banks and financial services are asking for.
Well, Himal, it's been a treat. Thank you for your time. And it's been great to discuss the trends that we're going to see coming up this year.
Good to see you too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Document. And thank you again to Himal for joining me today. You can find out more about what Himal and his colleagues do at Syncordis by searching for Syncordis, that's SYNCORDIS, on LinkedIn. I've been Ben Saxton. Catch you next time on Beyond the Document.